And I was like scrolling Instagram, and it must have been like a National Siblings Day or a national like cookie day or something like that. And I was like, I'm going to create a national holiday. And he kind of looked at me, my homeboy. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna launch a campaign that is a national holiday. It's going to be National Goal Writing Day.
Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
What's going on, successors? Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, TEDx speaker and best-selling author, Jonathan Jones. And today we have a very special guest in the studio. We have a special visitor. We're going to get to him just momentarily. I'm going to welcome him accordingly. But first, as we always kick off the show, we like to just take the time and shout out a faithful and loyal listener and supporter of the podcast. And during this time, this is when we read an Apple review of the week. And this review actually comes from Mr. Dennis McMurray. And Dennis went on to say that he just really can appreciate the podcast just based on the way that the application is so tangible and very applicable to life. He said he loves the show and just extremely appreciates the motivation. So, Dennis, we want to give you a special thank you and just shout you out, brother, for just being a faithful supporter and just helping us grow the podcast with everything that you do. So thank you, Dennis. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. And if you would like the opportunity to become the listener of the week, we would encourage you just to go to iTunes, type in Speak Your Success. The podcast will pop up, scroll to the bottom, click write a review, and then hopefully it'll be a 5-star review, and then just leave your comments there. So without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and welcome our guest. His name, I don't think really needs an introduction.
No, man, come on.
I don't even know if my man needs an introduction, but we're going to welcome Mr. Marcus Gilmore to the Speak Your Success Podcast. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? I appreciate you having me on here. So it's been long awaited,
man.
You know, long awaited that we should be having this sit down, man.
Yeah,
you
know? Man. Because I know when I started up the podcast, and even when I was just going out, you know, with my book, and you know, I had to get you in a corner. I'm like, hey, Marcus, what's up? You said you want to get this book, man.
Hey, I copped, didn't I?
So you copped the book. Yeah. You supported. You supported.
Where did I get a book at? At
we were at one of KG's events.
Yeah, maybe the fashion show that Cosign had.
Oh yeah. Cosign had the fashion show, and then even bringing that up, I thought about it just before we got started that
you won
the public figure of the year, right?
Yeah, last year was the inaugural year for the Cosign Awards, and I was the first recipient of the public figure of the year. So that was amazing, man. And then my guy Desi Brown, who I had lunch with this week.
Oh, nice.
You know, he was number two. So I was teasing him a little bit. We went to UNT together. So great guy as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Desi's super dope, super connected. Yeah. Both of y'all are dumb connected.
Yeah.
Like, out here.
He's way more. I'm just learning. I'm still carrying crates, man.
Hey, man, it is. Hey, servant leadership. That's what it is. It is what it is, man.
It definitely
is what it is. But, man, so, Marcus, I definitely want to bring you on the show because I know – even before the Cosign and even before all the dope stuff you're doing now, which we'll get into a little bit later. But I remember before I even knew you, me and you both were featured in, I think it was Jameisha.
Jameisha,
she
yes.
She did like a write-up.
What was Jameisha's write-up?
It was for her website. It was like the bar jar or something like that.
Yeah. She shout out to Jameisha Daniels. We went to UNT together, too. We were actually in a lot of classes, too, together.
Dang, I didn't know that.
A lot of journalism classes and television classes as well. But I do remember that.
That's super dope. Because, she highlighted, I believe she highlighted like 7 millennials.
Millennials.
And then that was when I followed you. And I think that was like my first interaction with you because I think I ended up reaching out to you probably like a year or so after that. But I followed you from that point and then just started engaging with, you know, what you were doing on social media and all that. But, man.
So that's crazy.
That's super crazy, man, Marcus. So share with us your story, man.
Yeah,
let the people get to know you.
So, taking it back, I jumped into media at 10 years old. That's where the passion started from. Where I was in Dallas, I was at my church, Newburgh Baptist Church, it's in Oak Cliff.
Oh yeah.
And so I served on the media ministry there at 10 and 11. And then I was able to get on the team. My mentor, Ed Brown, he allowed me to be on his team, and I worked every Sunday, but I was just moving the cords for the guys running the cameras. Mm. And then I moved up to camera operator. And then he allowed me to be the audio person. So I would run the audio for the whole service for church. Like, this is a big deal because we got two services. So it's 7:50 and I'm up early with my dad. And so that's the beginning of media for me. Then I had an opportunity to go to the University of North Texas, where I studied RTVF and, you know, Mean Green. They did really good this year. I'm glad they went to
shout
the bowl
game. Mean Green, man. Shout out to UNT.
Was a major in radio, television, and film, and then I worked in on the television show as well, being a producer. And then I also had the opportunity to have my own radio show. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I did 12 to 12:25, and I did the news, and I read the news on the jazz station there. I can't remember my intro, but it was just like that's where I learned how to like write really short clips of news because I had to at that time.
Man.
Then I graduated. Well, before then, I became an intern for Tom Joyner, and he's based here in Dallas, and I worked for his son, Tom Joyner Jr., and he gave me a lot of opportunity to just explore and be different and just – he was like, do whatever you want with our social media, like, you know, be consistent. So I did that. I was his first intern. Then I had the opportunity to move there full time. So I worked for him for 3 years, and I worked on the Tom Joyner Cruise. I did a lot of content with celebrities. I went to a lot of HBCU homecomings. Their homecomings are something else, like nothing like the other homecomings.
Man, I went to Southern a few months ago. Brother, when I tell you that it's an experience,
Like,
it's like we talking about something totally like it like a dope experience.
Dope experience.
I felt like
man.
I was deprived when I
was
like, was
held back from that.
I was like, "What you? What? This is what I missed."
Yeah,
y'all having fried catfish?
Yeah, fried catfish at the tent. All right, I'm like, pull up to the tent.
What you, y'all got it? But go ahead, man.
So during that time, I worked for him for 3 years.
Okay.
About a year ago, around in May, there was an email that came through about an opportunity to, this is 2017, there was an email that came through that said, Verizon Ad Fellows, they're launching their new advertising program for minorities. You have to be 3 years or less out of college with a degree. Well, it just happened to be, it was my coming up on my third year mark of from graduating from college. So I was like, all right, bet I'm gonna just apply. I didn't know what was gonna happen. I applied, ended up getting selected for an interview, took a just a turnaround day trip to New York, flew in early in the morning, did the interview, flew back to Dallas. 2 months later, they said, hey, we wanna offer you the opportunity to be in this internship. Mind you, like, I'm already working, so I'm going to leave. I'm going to take a step back and do an internship, and that means there's not a full-time job, right?
Ooh, so, sacrifice.
Like, my parents are like, you sure you want to do that? I'm like, yeah, like, this is it. Like, this is the way to go to the next level. This is the opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I went back and forth with myself a lot because I was nervous. Like, this is all I've built up here in Dallas. And, you know, I went through a lot here. Do I really want to leave that? Do I want to leave before I see it, I guess, come to this success or this fruition, which, you know, I don't know that. I don't know if I stay, would that have happened? So I had the opportunity to, I just said yes. I moved to New York. And so I've been there for a year and a half. And so the internship involved me working for Verizon's partners, advertising partners, and I did each one. Did four different ones for 8 weeks, and at the end they offered a job, and
which wasn't guaranteed.
It wasn't guaranteed, but there was like 20 job openings. Only applied to one because I knew this is where
I wanted supposed to be.
I applied to two. Don't let me lie. One sounded pretty good for the story.
One sounded great for the story,
but two is reality. But I did two to back up because my dad said, make sure you have something. Like, don't do that.
That's good. Like,
so,
Yeah.
My dad is like my balance. Like, I'm so like, I'm just gonna do it. And, you know, I'm And he's like, but did you think about
come through these wisdom? Other, yeah.
You know, he already been through these things. He used to tell me when I was like 13, 14. He was like, you know, I already been 13, right? And I get 20. He was like, you know, I already been 20, right? You know, I already been 25 and 28. Like, so
I like that.
How can I go wrong?
Man.
But So yeah, I've been there for a year and a half, or a little bit over that time frame.
Well, I want to. No. You're good. Yeah, I was locked in with the story, but I got a question for you. So mm-hmm. you said, I want to tie together 2 points. So you said you were working full time out here in Dallas.
True.
With Tom Joyner.
True.
Then you moved to New York and then I don't want to say downgraded to an internship, but you moved to New York and accepted an internship.
Yeah.
So what do you have? I'm just curious what your mindset was there, as well as what was your mindset when you were younger and you were moving the cords, not knowing what it would lead to?
So the moving the cords part, I think that I didn't understand it at that time, but it was just, it was like that mentor, and he's still my mentor, he was teaching me responsibility and accountability the whole time. Like, without you moving the cords, the camera can't move around the church, right? Because we're on television, every Sunday morning, we're on radio every Sunday morning. So you are the little piece to this puzzle. Mm-hmm. And if you don't move the cords, my camera doesn't move. And so the accountability and that's what I learned at that moment. Moving to New York, it was an internship, but it was paid and it was stipend. Mm-hmm. And that's a safety net.
Yeah.
You can't pass on that. Like,
yeah. That's not bad.
You know, like you're going to take care of both. Like, because the biggest thing people talk about when they're about New York, what's the first thing they say?
The cost. Yeah, cost, hands down.
My cost covered. You going to pay me? Oh, okay, bet. And I just, you know, I only been out of college 3 years. So, like, the living that lifestyle of, you know, I could splurge a little bit better in New York. But at that time, you know, college, you live by what you need to get by. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Do I need Cheez-Its? Cookies, Pringles, all that kind of stuff. No, well, I really like Cheez-Its over everything, so I'm gonna have me a box of hot and spicy Cheez-Its. Like, that's what I like. So that's my, you know, like, I'm not gonna splurge all the time. So I had to learn that responsibility again.
Man. Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, I didn't know.
Wait, did I answer your question?
Yeah. I think you answered it. Yeah, you definitely answered it. Because yeah, I'm just always curious just to hear like the mindset, and then I think that's dope that what you started doing as a child and you had the direction as a child, because it's like, okay, you got the cords and you said responsibility and accountability. And then your mentor saw, he was like, okay, well he gets it. He understands.
Right.
So let me give him a little bit more responsibility
right.
now.
Right, right.
And then move up. And then now doing what you're doing, like, I mean, I think that's super dope because it's like you've moved up the ladder, I guess, in the media field versus from – you know, like once you where you once were moving the cords.
Right. And I mean, and I missed a part in the story, but it was during that time I was working for Tom Joyner. I was also working at NBC, and I would wake up Saturday and Sunday after working the whole week, Saturday and Sunday, 4 a.m. At the news station. Now, one thing about the news station, it does not stop, right? It can be snowing, it can be storming, it can be any of that. You still have to go in. Everybody is going in, like, to the office.
Wow.
So, I mean, into the studio. So I'm doing that, right? 23, 24. I'm like, every morning I get up. I'm like, do I really want to do this? But in the back of my mind, the professor that got me into NBC, she was like, this is where you need to kind of like get your wheels going. So I would do that. And I was doing scripts and running the teleprompter and all of these things. Like, there are moments in those mornings where it's like, oh, man, like, why am I here in this morning? But I knew that I had to be there because it was granting me an opportunity into the corporate style of media. Like, Dallas is number five, top five market in media. And I'm working at NBC, Channel 5.
Oh, wow. Man. Yeah,
I'm doing a lot of reflecting with you right now. I appreciate it.
No, no, it's no. Cool that's dope, though. Not because, I mean, like, having an opportunity to go back. No. I just had an itch. Unless you've been hitting the gym, you know something I don't know. Because I've been taking this boxing class, so I might be a little bit more firmer than once
House boxing. So. What is it?
Bruh.
I saw Creed 2 the other day.
Man, what? Yeah. So first, that was part of my motivation because I saw the first Creed, and I was like, oh, Michael B. Jordan, these muscles ain't real, brother. Yeah. I got to see for myself.
Yeah.
So then I started doing a boxing class.
Yeah.
And, man, shout out to Sweat out in Irving. One thing is really dope, they start the first half, and then we do, like, general workout type stuff.
Yeah.
Then we wrap up, and then we go in and we do the bags, and sometimes we get in the ring. But one thing that's really dope about it is just bro, I'm seeing gains, and it's triggering different parts of my muscles than I would do if I would, because you know we hooped,
yeah,
and you know we know we'll go do play around with the dumbbells, hit the bench, and it's like okay, whatever, I ain't doing squats, you know, you might get on the machine, like
I'm getting on the machine, yeah,
but other than that, but nah, man, they got us going down like do the planks. And then, like, touch this leg here and do this. So it's just really dope because I go home, I wake up the next day, I'm sore, but I know I'm growing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, boxing's super dope. It's super dope. Man, once again, shout out to Brandon Paraway and Hector over there, man, over at Sweat and Irving. They will definitely get you right. But, yeah, man, so we're talking about all this now. Now, tell us, when did the culture supply, when did the culture supplier, when did that come about?
So it came about at the same time as working for Tom Joyner, the Tom Joyner Foundation, working at NBC5, and the culture supplier came during that moment as well.
Wow.
Right? So during this time, there were a lot of stories about our young kings being killed. Like, it was story after story after story. And so I was like, I just want to help tell this story. And so that's what the culture supplier actually was, just, it focuses on positive news, but this was like a lead in. I was like, I can do this too, like talk about these narratives. But the culture supplier focuses on positive news, uplifting news, where we cover in sports, music, tech, finance, girlfriends of culture, which means a lot to me as well. Like these different categories are the foundation of the culture supplier. And so during that time, like I said, I created it, and the first website I put out, which was not hot, but I went with it, but built just off my knowledge that I know about websites. Okay. And then I linked up with a guy named Casey, and he helped me kind of take it to where it is today. Mm. And he stays on me about it. So I'm continuing to learn how to create the culture supplier, and not create it, but like grow it in a way that is effective, because how many people are really going to a .com all consistently, right?
Yeah,
so they may not go every day, but they go at least once a week or twice a week or three times a week.
Yeah.
And it's cool to drive traffic every day, but like it's got to be meaningful. I'm not just going to post random stuff just to get clicks.
Man.
Like, I tell stories. I tell narratives. I allow these different types of people, my contributors, my writers from all over, to contribute their real content, right? So that's a little bit about it.
Yeah, that's super dope. And one thing I appreciate about what you just said before, you said the original website that you put out, now you're looking back and now you're saying it's not hot.
It was tight. Like, it was orange. It was clean. I was like, oh, I got, you know, like, I just had a website that had this feel that if I went to a page, it did what I wanted from it, which was give me something interesting and something that I can share on my LinkedIn or share on with friends or my colleagues. Like, hey, I went to theculturesupplier.com and I saw this story.
Yeah.
Like, you send somebody to certain sites, like, you don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, so those things, like, I really try to put into the narrative of the culture supplier.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really dope. But yeah. what I really extracted from what you shared earlier is just, like just do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of people. I know you know a lot of people. I know we all know that many people, they're saying, well, I'm going to do this when this is right.
Right.
I'm going to do this when 2019 starts.
It's never going to be right.
But it's never going to be like people in relationships. Oh, I'm going to wait until.
Right.
Hey, man. Hey, ma'am. I don't know. Sir. Hey.
Just
there never is a right time.
Right. True.
Because you said it came to you when you were working, 7 days a week? And then you're showing up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Man.
And just like, hey, I'm going to build a site, and it's going to be called theculturesupplier.com.
Yeah.
And it had, the logo was a shopping cart with the world in it. And my sister thought it was like weird. It's like, why do you have the world in a shopping cart? And I'm like, it's like, I'm supplying the world, and you know, with culture. That's what I thought then. I don't know.
Nah, that's dope though.
I don't know where I was.
That's dope though. That sounds dope. Like,
probably with Kid Cudi or something.
That sounds like the man on the moon type. Yeah, definitely.
My first Twitter name was I Kick Moons, and it came from.
That's kind of cool though.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Man, plus, I like Kid Cudi. He's one of my favorite artists. Gucci Mane, Kid Cudi, and Wiz Khalifa.
Gucci Mane is turning into like a whole different brand.
He's a whole other dude,
bro,
and not a bad way. It's like, I like that. Yeah.
New York Times best-selling author Gucci Roger Davis. Yeah.
The So Icy ENT,
like,
man.
Because I think he was getting interviewed by Oprah.
Yes.
And I was like, crazy. Bruh, you, hey, Gucci, from Gucci on what, So Icy?
Yeah.
To now,
exactly.
Roderick Davis.
Roderick Davis.
Nice to meet you, Roderick Davis. Yeah, Roderick Davis. Interview voice.
Yeah.
But, man, okay, so, man, so like, what else do you have going on? Like, is there anything big coming up that we should know about? Like,
yeah, I mean, well, the biggest thing that's coming up is National Goal Writing Day.
Of course.
December 27th. Yeah. Like, this is a campaign I launched 3 years ago. Well, 2 years ago. This is year three now.
Okay.
And National Goal Writing Day focuses on, I created this day to help people be intentional about their goals. And yeah, we have the vision board parties and we say, hey, what are you going to be doing for the next year? But National Goal Writing Day is created for a day of self-reflection and then taking time to really write these goals down and then sharing them. And some people, you know, they don't want to share, and that's perfectly fine. Like, but encourage others somehow, some way to encourage others. And even if you share generic goals that, you know, you don't want to get too detailed about, but still sharing and letting people know that you're focused as well. And that inspires others. We live in a time where we inspire each other based off our posts.
That's true.
I saw you.
Yeah. Oh, I see you, boy. I seen that post.
Yeah.
You didn't like it, though. Oh, I saw it, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, okay. But.
People are really petty like that.
Can't even give any voice to that. People are petty like that. But, yeah, National Goal Writing Day is just, again, it's my baby. Like, it's one of those things, like, I'm seeing grow because year one, it's like, I'm sitting at a friend's house, and I'm like, I'm going to do a national holiday. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do a national holiday and National Goal Writing Day. So it comes about. And then year two, I implement the six-month check-in. And so now, like, we've grown because you see the logistics of it, and you're like, okay, there's other pockets. And then I partner with different people that do, like, booklets and stuff and helping them. Like, find a way to push their booklet that is, like, where you write goals. Because could I do everything? I possibly could if I poured all of that, the resources in there. Is it cooler to see other people that already produce this type of material and we all galvanize together or we all create things together? Even better. It's like National Goal Writing Day. Like, this is a day for you to pump. Speak your success, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's
get it.
You know, let's keep pushing as much as possible everything because we all want each other to be better. And if we're a community that's, like, pushing each other all the time, you know, who knows? And I think that's one thing that I'm exposed to being in New York. Like, I see the community push. Like, I live in a community where they push each other. Mm-hmm. They shop together. They do all this stuff. So it's like, I want to see that as well. And how can I take that energy on and then share with my peers as well.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I probably would say I respect the most about you and about your brand is just, like, from the conversations that we have, like, you always see how there is a way that you can help.
Right,
like,
definitely.
See how can your message, how can we get your message further out? How can we do this? How can we do it? But you are, because even when we connected that time when you got my book, and then one thing you told me, I think this is like either right when I started my podcast or before. This is before.
Right.
And you was like, yeah, see about getting other people's podcasts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. But yeah, we had that conversation.
You
told me getting on other people's podcasts.
Yeah, guest appearing on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember saying that, but it sounded like something I was saying.
You said it. You said it. I'll give you your credit. Yeah. But just thinking about that, and like I was even talking with Dennis earlier, because Dennis helped me on this podcast.
Right.
Start this up. But I think that's one thing that's great about success when we're honest about it.
Yeah.
That we begin to realize that no success was done by any one man or woman.
No, it's
like,
not.
It was so much more, just like you earlier talking about your mentor.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Still being in your life, and I have like four or five mentors as well.
Right.
And, man, but yeah, that's definitely one thing I respect and really appreciate about your brand. Okay, so we're talking a little bit about theculturesupplier.com as well as National Goal Writing Day.
Yes.
So how did this idea actually originate? Or, like, take us back to where you were when the bulb went off.
which the logo is a bulb. So National Goal Writing Day, I created it about 2 years ago. I was at a friend's apartment, and we were talking, just chopping it up as, like, we always do. And I was, like, looking scrolling Instagram, and it must have been like a National Siblings Day or a National like Cookie Day or something like that. And I was like, I'm going to create a national holiday. And he kind of looked at me, my homeboy, and he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna launch a campaign that is a national holiday. It's gonna be National Goal Writing Day, where I push people to write their goals, make it intentional. At that time, that was what I said. But National Goal Writing Day is a day where I have created a campaign to help people be intentional about their goals and make them meaningful for themselves, right? Like, don't try to impress me or anyone else. What goals do you really want to obtain in the next year? What do you want to start on in the next year to help you continue to propel in life? And so that's what the day focuses on. And also a day of self-reflection, because we forget to congratulate ourselves. Like, bro, you did that. Like, whatever it was, you really did that in the past year. So I want to push that to make sure you pat yourself on the back and re-strategize as you go into the new year. How can you knock out 6 of your 7 goals, or knock out all 7 goals that you may have, or knock out 3, whatever it is, how can you strategize better this year? So we have to reflect, strategize, and then execute for the next year. Mm-hmm. National Goal Writing Day, if you want to follow us on Instagram, @GoalWritingDay, and that will be a place where you also see some stories as well as we ramp up for this day on December 27th.
Dope. Like, how... I don't want to say what was the greatest goal you saw accomplished, because like you said, each goal is to each individual. Mm-hmm. It has their specific meaning. Mm-hmm. But have you been able to celebrate with many individuals as you've seen them start with the writing process, right, and then come back and achieve it?
Yeah, the biggest thing is being able to see that and seeing people's journey. And like I do on that day, like I spend that whole, me and my sister are like back and forth talking a lot about like, what do you see? And you see a lot of different type of goals, man, and it's been really impressive. And then there'll be people that, I got a tweet maybe like a week ago, and somebody, I had posted about National Goal Writing Day, kind of like telling my story about it. And then someone tweeted me and was like, yeah, this is the reason I did all of maybe one goal last year. And oh, I was like, this is what I do it for, right? Wow. Like it's just like good to see in those that I'm touching people to say, hey, whatever goal I said, like I'm just going to do it. And I take this day to reflect on it, you know. Right after Christmas, before the NYE turn up, you know, before you get lit, pop champagne, like those, you reflect on your goals so you can go into the new year with some kind of strategy. Because if we just go in rolling, you know, you didn't plan, you didn't even set a foundation. So that's important.
Yeah, and I don't know what the research is, but I know when you write things down, I think the percentage is so much higher of you achieving.
Yeah, it's proven that if you write your goals down, you are more likely to achieve those goals because you see them every day.
Yeah, and even when you write, because I know that's one thing that Damon John talks a lot about, but then also the fact that if you write your goals down, I think it even spurs you to action. And then you even make more money.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because there's a presentation I did
money
with
treats.
There's a presentation I did up at Richland with their male achievement program, and I broke it down. I was like, how many of you all actually write down your goals? You don't see any hands. I said, how many of you don't write down your goals at all? Which was the majority of the percent.
Right.
Then went to how many of them write it and take action. So
what was it, where were you speaking again?
This was Richland College, one of my alma maters.
Yeah, and you did, what was the program?
Oh, the Male Achievement Program.
Male Achievement, how is that?
Man, their program is pretty strong. Gabe Randall is the director over there, but their program is pretty strong. They've been graduating a good amount of men. Some of them been getting scholarships and stuff.
No.
Some of them at UNT. Yeah. But, I mean, the guys going to the program, they really create a brotherhood. They cultivate that, and then, you know, they go out to wherever, but then they always, like, return back home. And They show love and definitely show support. But, I mean, the Male Achievement Program up there is probably one of my bigger supporters, honestly.
That's good.
They're always, they always like, hey, what's up, John?
Yeah, wherever you feel the love, like, pour into that.
So yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. So Marcus, I know you're a faithful listener to the show. And so we have a few new segments that we're working on incorporating now.
Okay.
So the first segment I want to get to, this segment I like to call Five Words.
Five Words.
Five Words. And the reason I call this Five Words is because I just want to hear from you how you see yourself in five words.
Is that now?
Like I can go down? Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting for somebody to say go. But yeah, I just want to hear from you, hear you describe yourself in five words, just because, like what you're talking about before, self-reflecting, mm-hmm. just like we're talking about with goal writing. And sometimes I think just in this year, 2018, and just where we are in society, we move so fast. And you said we don't give ourselves praise sometimes.
Right.
So I'm just curious to hear, what's your five words?
Five words: problem solver, patient, family, what else? Fun. I don't want to use fun. That's whack. Let's take that one out. Problem solver, patient, family. I don't know the word for this, but I just like visual stimulation. So seeing things visually like that, I take to that. So I don't know if that's a...
Oh, like that, like the aesthetic type deal?
Yeah, aesthetic. Okay. Like those things I catch. I don't know. That's what I would describe myself.
Yeah,
what number is that? Four?
Unless you count problem solver as two, but that's fine. No. We'll count that as a, we'll count that as a compound word.
It's a compound word.
Is it?
Sister. What is it? Two words or one word?
No. We'll go one. We'll go one. Right. We'll give you
another. And then just culture. Like, it changes over time. So right now, I really like tech. I really like sports. And those are like my two things that I'm like, enjoying.
Yeah, that's dope. And I mean now's a great time to be involved in tech.
Yeah,
every time it seems like every time I look up I see somebody else, because I know Snoop is in on tech.
Everybody's
now
on tech.
Kevin Durant is in on tech now.
So much data around, so like how can you find
sense.
More data and use it for your benefit. So
I never even thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Dang, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay,
so those are my five ways I would describe myself today.
Dope. Yeah, if I ask you tomorrow, you'll probably say five different ones, huh?
Yeah, probably so. I probably will keep problem solver, family, and patient, though.
I figured so. Okay, That's fair. Okay, so now you know the winner circle of the week, because you were probably one of the earlier winner circles of the week when I first rolled out the segment.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I told you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I said, awesome.
I was like, okay. I was like, we had this conversation. But for those of you who might, this might be your first time listening to the show, the Winner's Circle of the Week is just the opportunity where we take on the show and it just really highlight an individual who's out here getting it,
right,
and who might be going under the radar, an individual who might not be seen,
right,
or,
right,
you know, or be heard. So now I want to pass the torch to you.
Filet.
He's so funny.
Filet.
But now I want to pass to you, and I want to give you the opportunity now on this Feature Friday to give a shout out to somebody who you know is grinding and who's putting in that legwork, but maybe might be unnoticed or haven't got their just due.
All right, so this week's winner circle is my guy, Cal Banks, DJ Cal Banks, KB. My guy is now living in LA, originally from Dallas, Texas. A quick story about him. He is one of the leaders of the Dallas boogie music that we used to hear.
Oh, wow.
Moving Like a Robot. What else? I need you. Okay. A lot of the gig music. I can't remember a lot of the music. But anyways, he's one of the pioneers for that music. Work, Don't Stop.
Really?
So this guy is in that realm.
Man.
And then... he went to Tennessee for college. I told him about UNT while he was there. He ended up transferring to UNT, where he finished and completed school and got his degree there. But we were also roommates for 2 years, year and a half. And we hosted events. We did all of the graduation parties. He DJed. He was, you know, I was his driver. I was like driving him to DJ his first, when Chief Keef first came to Dallas.
Oh, wow.
He DJed at that show. I drove him, like, we would do all this. I was always behind him, and still am. And so now he got an opportunity to sign with it's number one label in hip hop. I would say. Yeah, that's number one, of course. And so now he's there. He's signed to TDE. And he has already been and is going to continue to be on more music that comes from that camp. Mm-hmm. And originally he's done work with guys like Chaz French. He's put out a track with Maya. And so he has a lot of stuff,
man,
right?
Yeah,
and so this year I'm very excited about him. I went to L.A. Maybe 2 weeks ago, and I went by his house and chopped it up with him. And just learned so much more about him because he's grown. Remember, you know, we went to high school together, so This guy is 16 at this time, and now he's 27. So, like, this 10-year difference, and we still, you know, from roommates to making money together and all these things. Now we, you know, now he's gotten to this level now. So I'm very proud of him. Oak Cliff raised, and he'll let you know it. and so very proud of this guy, Cal Banks. So that is the Winner's Circle of the Week, Feature Friday.
Yeah, that's dope, man. KB. Man, that's super dope. And like we were talking about before, like journeys and just going through like different processes of life.
Right.
Our processes.
Chapters of life.
Yeah, like, man.
It's this thought that everything is supposed to come this fast. Oh, and I feel that way sometimes. It's like, man, I'm supposed to be, right? Yeah. But you look at a guy like, and I'll just throw, you look at a guy like a Charlamagne or a Daymond John or a Ryan Seacrest or these guys like, that it was a certain time frame and you think that they had got it when they was 22, 23. It's like, no, it's, you know, mid-30s or whatever. It really doesn't matter about the age, but it's more about the time frame that they put on the work and the trials that they go through each chapter of life. So those, you know, some of the inspirations. But yeah.
And it's funny you say Charlamagne because I just got my Audible subscription. Shout out to Audible. Yeah. Just got my Audible subscription. I started listening to Black Privilege last night.
Oh, wow.
And then I was listening to Black Privilege and I was listening to an interview of him, one that he did with Pastor Stephen Furtick.
Right.
But he got to the point where he started saying that every time he started a new job, he wouldn't even bring stuff into his office because he wasn't sure how long he was going to be there.
Right.
And then he said after working 23 years, then he finally got comfortable. And now with the Breakfast Club, like, he's more so comfortable in the space that he's in.
Yeah.
But I think that story is more consistent than not of people putting in 20, 10, whatever amount of years, although that's not always the case.
Right.
However, sometimes that level of work is required to do what you said before, laying that foundation.
Laying foundation. I mean, Charlamagne can't go with, like, these guys, to get to that level, like, that does take a lot of time. And sometimes you got some people that hit it right at that time, and they don't have to go through a super long process. But every story is for them. Like, God doesn't make any mistakes, and he doesn't make any timing mistakes either. So it's just like,
Yeah. That's correct. And then, well, I'm just going to say this and we're going to move on. But because talking about like timelines and time scales, because there's another guy, you probably heard of him, a guy named Toby Nwigwe.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Earlier this year, he might have had 6,000 followers, I believe, on Instagram.
I would say, if you're thinking about maybe
earlier this year,
like April, May, he was at like 6 something. And like, now he's, I don't even know what's the number.
Now he's at 225K at least. Wow. Yeah, did Sway in the morning because before I loosely followed him because I'm tied into the camp with ETA and my coach is Kendall Ficklin. He's like ET's like he's like one of his guys, but just seeing that process because I saw Toby in
Eric Thomas.
But I saw Toby in LA because they were doing the Stay Ready and then like he was walking around he had a shirt for his tables but it was just like I think people really didn't know who he was at that time
right.
Or people really weren't trying to get to him. It's like, hey, because he was just out there just chilling, really, like, man of the people. But now I went to his concert at The Door.
I missed that show.
Bruh.
That was when? Saturday night?
It was a Sunday night.
Past Sunday.
I missed it. Bruh, I'm not going to lie. That was probably one of my favorite concerts.
Wow. Like,
one of my favorite. His energy is raw. Yeah. Him and his
wife. Where he went to school.
He went to UNT.
Yeah, man, we breathing out of there, man.
Yeah, he went to UNT. What's it called? Like two episodes ago, I did the episode was inspired by him and his wife Fat because like his message is making purpose popular.
Yeah,
and he's on the set. They did the show on their anniversary night. He brought her out about 5 times, gave her a rose every time. Just hearing the way he celebrated his wife.
Yeah,
and I'm like, bruh,
that's real.
Yeah, like every time he wasn't ashamed to kiss her, he wasn't ashamed to get excited for her, and he's like, hey, about to bring out the baddest thing that I done seen with these green eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like it was dope. And then he's rapping, then she's rapping.
Wow.
And then she's dancing and he's rapping and she introduces him. And it was just beautiful. Just because
tough energy. Good energy.
Yeah, I haven't seen nothing like that before.
Wow.
And he performed maybe like 2.5 hours. I can't name a song that he didn't do. He almost did like all his songs.
Wow.
Just raw energy.
How did I miss that? I don't know why I didn't see that.
You got to see him, bro. Yeah. You got to see him.
So we've started posting his content. He used to do these
Get Twisted Sundays.
No, before that he was doing animations.
He was putting out these
animations. So
Toby
we would post
the
Toby from the SWAT animation. Yeah. So we would post them on the site and on Instagram. And then the Get Twisted Sundays, which he's rapping on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you see the progression because those are content moments. Like they're you can't run all of that at the same time. Like the animation is one thing to galvanize like him telling the story. And then the Twisted Sunday is like, oh, what I really want to show y'all is that I got bars and I can give it to you every Sunday.
Mm.
Right. And now you get the guy who is on stage and just taking over every single time.
Yeah.
And when he's on stage, like I've seen the clips of the shows. When he's on stage, it's not back and forth across the stage. No, it is art. It is in these all of these visual stimulating things that he uses, similar to but just like a Travis Scott or a Childish Gambino, like these moments where they use visual things to bring their audience in deeper.
Man, because the visuals was a whole nother that was a whole nother ball game.
Then he had
different people like saying happy anniversary, then they were running like the videos, like Instagram videos. I was like, man, this is crazy.
Content, man.
But yeah, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing to see. Man, just really super dope. So now I want to transition. We'll go to the quote of the week in a second.
All right.
But now I want to ask you, like I was telling you before, we're going to call this segment This or That.
This or That.
This or That. That's what we're going to call this segment, Dennis. So now I'm just going to go through with just a few questions,
mm-hmm.
a handful or two handfuls, whatever. And I just want you to say the first. I just want you to say the first one that comes to mind.
Okay.
It's gonna be like rapid fire.
Wait, I have to pick between.
Yeah, you pick
between
the two. Gotcha. It's gonna be rapid like. So don't try to answer slow.
No pause.
Yeah, no pause.
No pause.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Chick-fil-A or Raising Cane's?
Chick-fil-A.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles. Blueberry.
I rock with the blueberry waffles too. Yeah. That's where it's at. Pizza or wings?
Wings.
Summer or fall?
Fall.
Walmart or Target?
I like Target now. I'm a Target guy.
Yeah.
That's because in New York they don't have Walmart, so I've kind of like embraced
Target. Because they got the, what's the mother store? They got another store.
I can't think of it.
Yeah, I can't think. I know they got other bodegas, but anyway. Crayola or Rose Art?
Crayola.
Coke or Pepsi?
Neither.
Valentine's or New Year's?
Valentine's.
Oh, okay, that's cute. Mountain Dew or Sprite?
Sprite. Sprizzy.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Okay.
Dang, I got a lot of that means
okay.
That ain't what I expected you to
say. Nah. When it comes to Marvel and DC, bro, because people are like, oh, no, I'm Marvel, oh, I'm DC. I'm like, bro, I can't tell you which character goes where. I just know.
I didn't want to say that. I watched the
movie because successful people don't have time for that. People don't have time for that.
All right, what is Luke Cage in?
I think Marvel.
Marvel.
Yeah.
And where's Spider-Man? All right, Marvel. I'm good then. All right, you know. Superman's Marvel. We don't know.
I don't know. Okay, but yeah, I mean, that's just fun. I just want to do that for
a I like that. It was some good questions, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Dope.
But I came to waffles, man. Yeah. I'm a blueberry Eggo kind of guy. I pop two in.
Hey.
That's the syrup motion. Where I just.
Oh, yeah. I douse my waffles in syrup. I probably shouldn't use as much syrup as I do, but I don't care. So now we're gonna as we prepare to wind down, man. I wanna do the quote of the week.
Awesome.
And I just wanna hear from you, like, what's a favorite quote or something that keeps you going, keeps you motivated?
So one quote that I like is, "In order to do cool stuff, you have to say yes and yes, but never no." Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to say yeah, but give a different option, or yes, and we can do that.
Mm.
But to create cool stuff, you have to be yes and. You can't say no, because once you say no, like, you have defeated yourself all the way around. So that's one of the quotes that I have found to be something that I hold close. And then, can I give another quote?
Well, yeah, you can do. I was actually going to ask you. You want to do a final thought? No. I was going to say you want to do like a final thought, something that you want to just tell the people to encourage them or whatever, tangible, whatever.
All right,
you
I'll leave that as the quote. All right.
Yeah. But you can, I mean, final thought. You can roll whatever you want to share with the people.
My final thought is to take advantage of safety net moments. And so these safety net moments are moments that you are taking a leap, but you can see the safety net a little bit. Like, and the example that I found this to be where I want to share this thought is like moving to New York. That's the first like leap, like, uh-oh, I'm going to the top of the map, right? Like I'm going, uh-oh, right? Like that's how I felt. And then I realized, wait, you're going to take care of the things that most people worry about.
Yeah.
So I had to take advantage of that safety moment. And even if you want to do, if you're doing an event or you're writing something or there's a moment there that you realize before you do it, it's a safety net there, and I can take advantage of it. And if I do it right, I know that there was something there to hold me up. And so take advantage of safety net moments.
Dang,
that's
I like
final
that.
Final thought.
Yeah. That's dope. Where can the people follow you? How can they find out more information about the Culture Supplier and even National Goal Writing Day?
Yeah, man.
Let them know.
So my Instagram, Marcus D. Gilmore on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And then the Culture Supplier at the Culture Supplier, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, and then Goal Writing Day, National Goal Writing Day at Goal Writing Day.
Dope. I'm definitely going to have, I'm going to listen back to the show and I'm going to have all that down in the show notes so that people can click and they can find you.
Need
and
the clicks,
it'll be easier to get plugged in with you for sure.
Well, I got a question for you.
What's up?
So your goals that you did last year, you know, where did you net out on those? Like, did you complete most of them or the ones you did complete, can you share and kind of reflect on them a little bit?
Gotcha. Yeah, so one goal I actually did write, well, there's a couple of goals I wrote, and right. Just being honest, since we have to be honest.
Yeah.
So one goal I know I wrote, I said I was going to start writing a second book. I began the project, so I guess that's success.
Yeah, it is.
However, I didn't. Oh, thank you. however, like, I allowed other stuff to deter, like, from finishing the second book.
I got you.
Yeah, like it was just, okay, grad school, no grad school, what you
right.
gonna do?
Right.
So that was one that I was deterred from by myself.
Yeah.
I deterred myself from it. I didn't keep it front of mind, like you were saying earlier, and didn't lock down and hone in on that.
Right.
However, some other goals that I set was getting more than 10,000 listens on this podcast.
Yeah.
First year. We have 13,000 plus now.
Oh, wow. Amazing, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Them numbers.
Yeah, man. So did that as well as booking 4 out-of-state speaking engagements. Wow. We made that happen
you
as
did.
Well. Yeah, man.
That's real. Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, man. So now I'm definitely gonna really, really take hold to that because I know vision boards are cool,
right.
But I know writing goals and seeing your goal written down, the Bible tells us write the vision, make it plain.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's time, and I'm gonna like put it in a frame or something.
Yeah, get it up there.
Then like take a picture and keep it on my phone, screensaver type deal.
Awesome.
But yeah, man, so... man, Marcus, definitely thank you.
I appreciate it, man.
Man, thank you for stopping by. It was well overdue, like you said.
Yeah.
And everybody, if you would like to follow Marcus, stay connected with him, stay connected with the Culture Supplier, and get your goals written down.
Yes.
We're going to have all this information down in the show notes. And if you want to follow us, I would just encourage you to go to JonathanJonesSpeaks.com, and I have all my social links down at the bottom. And we can get connected, or YouTube, because my YouTube following has been crazy. They've been super supportive.
Yeah.
Jonathan Jones Speaks on everything. Jonathan Jones Speaks.
Across the board.
Yeah, across the board. But without further ado, we're going to go ahead and close it out like we always do. This is TEDx speaker and best-selling author Jonathan Jones, wrapping up with the Marcus Gilmore in the building.
Hey.
Reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?